Blog Talk Radio.
Let the kings worship the Lord. Let me hear your word to worship. Let me hear your word to worship. Come on, y'all, talk to him. Come.
Aristocratic.
Listen, the goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there is power when you speak.
Mindful
of the words you release. See, I know that life has challenged you, but the King in me came to speak to the King in you. You were born to rule, and I came to tell you. Let the kings worship him today. Let the kings worship him. Come on, y'all, let's say it one more time.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic dynasty. The number one goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. I know that life has thrown you some curves, but the King in me, the ruler in me came to speak to the ruler in you. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a King in you. What has happened? The head has become the tail, the lender has become the borrower. What has happened to you? We speak to you today. Is there no King in you? You cry out like a woman in travail. I came to help you find your inner King. You were born to rule. And you need to know that there is a King. I know that some of you have been molested. I know that some of you have been struggling. I know that some of you have been talked about. I know that some of you have got lower self-esteem. But I came to tell you that there is a King in you. I know that some of you are struggling with addictions. I know that some of you are struggling with financial issues. I know that some of you don't feel like you're smart. You don't feel like you look good. You don't feel like you got what it takes. But I came to tell you that there's a King in you. I know you don't feel well. I know you don't think you look the part. I know that you don't think you got the skills. But I came to tell you that there is a King in you. If there's a King in you, I want you to stand up and let me know you're out there. Where are the kings tonight? Where are the kings? Forget about what you've been through. You are a King.
There is a
gospel. The King is living in you. The Word is in you. Praise Him because
there is a King.
You will make it. You are forever a lender, never a borrower. You are forever above, never beneath. You are forever the head, never the tail.
A King is in you.
Let the past go. Look toward the future. The best is still yet to come for you. There is a King in you. Let the ruler rule. I know you've been through. I know you've been through. But there is a King. Embrace your King. And
there is a King.
Hey, hey. Just one more time, y'all. Embrace your King, everybody. Over here, embrace your King. Embrace your King. There is a
King.
Over here.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to this beautiful Sunday, the last Sunday in the month of April 2019. Guys, it's almost half the year. Can you believe how quickly it went? For me, January was so slow, but now it's just like every month takes 2 weeks to get done. But enjoy the time. King in You by Donald Lawrence. I don't own the rights to that song, but I tell you, we play it every week, and every week it inspires me. It just does something to me, and I hear something new, or I hear something that just touches my spirit. And in the song, he said, don't let your past hold you, but look towards the future, or something along those lines. So many times, we allow ourselves to get caught up and what we did before, who we were before, or the decisions we made back when, or what people remember us as. And I'm here this morning just to share with you that you have to let your past go, even as others want to keep you there, even as others want to remind you of what you used to do and who you used to be and who you used to be with. You have to be comfortable enough in yourself to let go of your past. And I know it's easy to say and not so easy to do. However, that's who you used to be. And you're no longer that person. Even if there are shades of that person within you, please know that time allows you to grow if you're open to grow, if you're open to change. And so don't allow yourself to stay stagnant because of what and who you used to be and what you used to do. Your past helped to make you who you are today. So you shouldn't resent it, even if it hurt, even if there were things that were done to you that corrupted you or made you feel badly, or things were done that broke your heart or betrayed you. Let those things go and forgive them. Recognize that because that hurt happened, because that anger happened, because that betrayal happened, it enabled you to be who you are at this moment in time. And there are times, I promise you, you're not by yourself, where I think, if only this had happened, if only I had done this, if only I had said this, if I hadn't said this, if I hadn't done this, I could be so much further ahead, or I could be at a different place in my life or a different point in my life, or I would be more successful. And it could possibly be true, but this is what I recognize. The person I am right here, right now, today, is someone that I respect, is someone I like, is someone I love. It took me a long time to get to this place, and I'm not sure I would have ever gotten to this place if it wasn't for the missteps of my past. I'm not sure I would be who you're listening to right now if I hadn't been through the heartache and the pain. I tell my kids this all the time. I was hell on wheels. I was a wild child. I was vain. I was selfish. I did not like people. I did not like myself. I was very impatient with people and myself and things. I was very spoiled. I was very brattish. I'm not sure if life circumstances hadn't happened the way that they had, if I would be this person who actually is comfortable with myself, who actually admires myself, who actually respects myself, who actually likes and loves myself. I'm not sure I'd be that person. I tell them all the time, if you had known me back when, you wouldn't have liked me. I tease my oldest daughter that all the time. I said, if we had been at school in my day, and you being how you are now, and me being who I was then, we would have been mortal enemies. We would have been on the opposite side of everything. We would have bumped heads. We would not have liked or tolerated each other because I was shallow. I was closed-minded. I was vain. I was selfish. There's a lot that God has delivered me from by the things that I have gone through in life. And I just think about it. Did I want to be homeless? Did I want to be a young mother? Did I want to be divorced early? Did I want to be in rebound relationships? Did I want to be betrayed by friends? Did I want to almost be raped? No. No, no, no. I wouldn't choose that for anybody. On the things that I've been through, I would not have chosen for anybody, not even the worst person in the world that I dislike. I would not. But those things and other things that have happened to me have shaped and molded me into somebody that can, for the first time in a long time, see progress, see where God has brought me from. And I look forward to my future if God keeps allowing me to grow and to bloom. And I share that with you today. There is a king in you. You may not see it right now. You may not understand it right now. You may be so caught up in your past that you don't think that God could use you. But I'm here to bring to you right now that you are a king. There is a king in you. And remember, when I say king, that's a man and woman, okay? There is a king in you. God can use you. You are destined to be great. You are destined to be a world mover, a world shaker. You are. And you cannot allow the things that caused you hurt and pain and shame in your past to leave you there. Yet people will laugh at you. I'm not going to front. People are going to talk about you. People are going to remind you. But you have to go above that and to continue on moving forward and doing the things that God has placed in your life. Let me tell you why. If you allow the conversations and looks of others to stop you, you'll never move forward. You'll stay where they want you to stay because, listen, there are people in your life, there are people around you that don't want you to progress. I don't care how close they are to you. I don't care how much they smile in your face and how much they tell you you can do it secretly behind closed doors. They're sitting there scorning, laughing, talking, criticizing, saying, oh, she'll never do it. She owes me $10,000. Where is she going to get the capital to start her business? Oh, she's not going to do it. She's had 15 baby daddies and 10 different babies. She can't do it. She is nothing. She's from the project. They're going to say all kinds of things about you, my sister, my brother. But here's the thing. You have to rise above the critique and the criticism of those that are haters. And yeah, even those that you love can be your haters. But you have to rise above that and see what God has planned for your life. This is why I think it's really important when the Bible says, write your vision, make it plain, because you need to see things in writing so that you can encourage yourself. Everybody's not going to be your cheerleader. Everybody's not going to be on your side. Everybody's not going to be rooting for you. You have to root for yourself. You have to go if nobody else goes with you. You have to do if no one wants to do it with you. It's your dream. It's your vision. It's your destiny. Just as you were born here by yourself, even if you're a twin, both of you can't be born at the same time. You were born here by yourself, and you're going to die by yourself. Even if you're in a car with 1,500 people, and God forbid they should all perish, you're still going by yourself. That's the same way you have to treat God's promises for you. He gave them to you. Yes, he will use people to work with you. Yes, he will send you people that will bless you and help you and allow, but it's your vision, it's your dream, it's your goal. So you have to walk it out, even if it's by yourself. So that king in you has to become stronger and stronger. So if people are laughing at you, talking about you, won't celebrate you, won't support you, won't do for you, you keep going anyway. And eventually, the more you walk out, the more you walk forward, the more you water walk that faith, the more God starts opening doors and starts bringing opportunity to the point where you, can I be honest with you, may not be able to handle it. So then you got to say, okay, Lord, help me, because now I see the doors opening. Now I see opportunities. There are a lot. So tell me, direct me, show me my next step. Because you don't want to miss the opportunities of God. Yes, you can prepare for them and be ready for them, but there are sometimes opportunities come when you become overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Can I be honest with you? We don't talk about it, but it does happen. And you find yourself staring at the opportunity, even though you've prepared for it, even though you've prayed for it, but still you're unable to walk into it because you're overwhelmed. And I say to you today, don't be overwhelmed. Yes, God's blessings are huge, ginormous, gigantic, humongous. However, he created them for you, and he allowed you to be able to take them on. So you ask for his guidance and his direction. Every opportunity is not a God opportunity. Every open door is not a door that he has opened or wants you to walk through. So get some good information from God by praying. Lord, is this the one? Is this it? Do I walk here? Do I go here? Some people say, Andrew, you know, God gives you sense and he gives you intelligence. You don't have to pray for everything. Well, I choose to argue that point because the Bible says pray in everything. In everything, pray. Pray about everything. If that's the case, everything should be prayed about. So just because it looks good, feels good, tastes good, smells good, doesn't mean that it's good for you. So I leave you with that, to pray about everything, and don't be so caught up in your past that you miss out on the very opportunities that God has for your future. He's building you up right now. He's having you do the work right now in your present so that you can rule in your future. Don't miss out. There is a king in you. Which leads me to today's message. I'm coming from Luke, the 19th chapter. I know you're like, okay, Andrea, that was a good sermon. You're already done. But no, that was just a prequel. Oh, I want to say, please, during the week, if you would turn to this very same phone number and listen to the Royal Court Blog Talk family, oh, my goodness. We have awesome ministers and speakers that are on from Sunday through Saturday. I don't have the lineup with me right now. I do apologize. I try to shout them out every week, but I will have that for you next week. But I'm just telling you, if you've heard me in the past, you know that we have some awesome kings and queens, and they have a word stored up in their bellies for you. So I would just ask that you would just support them during the week. To my Royal Court family, God bless you. I will be tuning in this week, and I just ask my listeners, I'm sorry if I say viewers, I'm going to ask my listeners to tune in also. Luke, the 19th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. I'm going to start off in the King James Version, but, you know, I like to switch to different versions throughout. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained us 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest thou that didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those, mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. Father God, I come to you today, Lord God, and I ask that you would make plain the words that you would have me share, not only with those listening, but with myself, Lord God. Those things, Lord God, that would allow us to continue on during our week, months, and years ahead. We pray for clear understanding, no doubt, no room for teaching that is not yours, Lord God. So I ask that you would cleanse me right now. Purify me, Lord God. I surrender to you and ask that you would make me pure, that you would pour into me the words that you would have me to say. I hide behind you, Father. And I ask that you would direct those things that need to lead us during this week. I surrender to you. I bow to you. I humble myself before you. And I ask that if there's anything within me that is unlike you, that you would cleanse it now, Lord God, that you would forgive me of all my sins, Lord God, and make pure these words that will bless as well as heal, deliver, and set free the captives, Lord God, your people. We love you, Father, and I pray for every listener now that whatever they stand in need of, Father, that you would provide it, that you would give it to them, that there would be healing, restoration, deliverance, abundance, Lord God, in their lives, both personally and professionally, that they would have financial success, spiritual growth, and relational well-being. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. So we're looking at Luke, the 19th chapter, and my title for today would be, What's in Your Hand? What's in your hand? And I love this story, and there are similar ones in the Bible, in the different books of the Bible. And what I like about it is that it makes you think about the blessings of God. And we just talked about this a few minutes ago when I was telling you what I heard as I was listening to King in You, or King in You by Donald Lawrence. And it just puts me in the mind of what God has for us. And I wanted to share it with you this morning because we're walking into a season where you're going to see uncommon favor. And I'm not speaking this to be cute. I'm not saying this because I'm that person that just wants to pour out positivity and won't tell you when God gives me a word that's not so positive for your future. But I see in the spirit that there are going to be those that God is going to favor. There are going to be those that God is going to start blessing. You're going to be overwhelmed. We just talked about it with the kindness that God shows you, with the favor, with the grace and the mercy. And I want you to be prepared because it's going to happen for you like it's never happened before. It's going to happen in front of people that you might not be comfortable with it happening in front of, people that you know are going to criticize, people that you know are going to talk down about it, people that are going to complain, people who are going to be jealous, people that are going to be envious. It's going to happen in front of these people, and you're not going to be so comfortable with it. But I'm here to share with you that what God blesses you with, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's relational, whether it's emotional, whatever God blesses you with, you have to walk it out. You can't be like the servant in this story that buried it, that hid it, that rolled it up in a napkin and said, you know, God gave it to me. I'm just going to do nothing with it. I'm just going to hold on to it. I'm just going to keep my fist closed around it. I'm not going to share it. I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to grow it. You have to be careful of that thinking, because what it is that you have and that you're holding on to so tight is the very thing God will take away from you and give to someone else, because he's not giving it to you for you to hold on to. He's not giving it to you for you to protect. He's giving it to you so that you can share it with others, so that you can grow it into the kingdom, so that others will be able to see it, feel it, use it, taste it, touch it, smell it, all on their own. But they're not going to be able to if you hide it, if you bury it, if you hold on to it. And here's the other thing, something my pastor taught me many moons ago. When you have your fist so tightly closed and are holding on so tight, how is God able to put anything else in your hand? Think about it. Right now, close your fist as tight as you can. Just close it. While you have it closed, try to put something in your hand and it stay there. It's impossible. In order for you to receive, in order for you to hold, in order for you to get something, your hand has to be open. It has to be open and willing for you to drop that thing that's already in there, release that thing that you're holding on to so that other things can fit. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but that's where you've been. You've been so close to God's other opportunities for you because you're holding on to that one thing he gave you 50 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. You're holding on so tight. And God's like, I'm trying to bless you with something else, but I can't because you won't allow me to. You won't open up your hand. You won't open up opportunities for me to give you something else. And what I have for you is better than what you're holding on to. And let me say this to my couple out there, because I just heard it in my spirit. You know how they say if you love something, you should let it go. And if it leaves and comes back, it's for you. Well, that's not what I'm going to say to you this morning. What I'm going to share with you is you have to release some people. Just release them. There are some people you are holding on to, and the only reason that they are with you is because of your tight hold on them. They've left mentally. They've left emotionally. But they're physically there because you're holding them hostage. Whether you're using what you've done for them, or you're using tactics like, if you leave me, I don't know where I'll be, or I'll kill myself, or I won't be able to handle it. You're holding them hostage. And yes, they are physically there with you, but that's it. Their emotions are gone. Their mind is gone. Their true feelings are gone. You've got to let them go. Free them. They're not for you. They are meant to grow and go beyond you. You were there for a season, but it's time for them to go. And I'm not just talking about dating relationships. I'm not just talking about romantic relationships either. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm talking about there are people in your life, and their season is up. You were business partners. You were friends. You were ministry counterparts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But your season is up, and you're trying to choke hold them into staying with you because you've gotten so comfortable with how they bless you. You've gotten so comfortable with how they've made you smile in the past. You've gotten so comfortable of having somebody, anybody, anything in your life that you're holding on to people that need to be let go. You're crippling their growth. You're crippling your growth by holding on to them. It's time to walk away. It's time to move on. They've been crying out, acting out, telling you in their way that they are gone, that they've had enough, but you are blinded to everything but your needs. Well, I'm here to share with you today. Today is release. Release them. Let them go. They want to leave. They need to leave. You need for them to leave your life, because once they do, you can work on some flaws that you have been covering. You can work on some things that need to be buried, some not buried, but taken out and then buried. Don't bury them within yourself. Some things that you have to be honest about, some things you need to work on. And once you do that, you will be released too. And then those people that you should link up with will appear. There are other people that are supposed to be in your life, but they can't be, because you're holding on and fighting to keep these people, this person in your life. You've got to go. What's in your hand? So we see in a story where there's this leader, and the leader wanted to be made the royal leader over a group of people. He was from a royal house, so it was his destiny to become their leader, and he was going to Jerusalem to get the paperwork that literally said that he would lead them. But on his way, or before he left, he wanted to put some people in charge, and he called 10 of his servants. What I find interesting about this is that he called 10 servants, but we only hear about 3. Now, the 10 servants, he gave each money, but there's only 3 that are spoken about. And I think the 3 are very profound in this story. There's a good reason. To me, and this is Andrea, I follow numbers in the Bible. I listen for their spiritual relevance. And 10 is the number of testing. It's also the tithe. So I find it interesting that a lot of times in the story we hear the number, in the Bible we hear about the number 10. But then we also hear about the number 3, which is God's perfect number, the number of the Trinity, the Godhead. And so that's why I think that it's important in this story. You have to look at each piece. You can't gloss over it. There's messages within the message. So if 10 be the number of testing and tithe, he called out 10, and he gave them a test. For 3, the 3 that we'll focus on, he gave them a pound. So for today and today's sake, you were given a gift. God blessed you with something, whether it's the ability to sing, the ability to dance, the ability to encourage, the ability to pray, the ability to speak in tongues, the ability to learn, wisdom, knowledge, whether it's a keen business mind, whatever, just think of one of your abilities. Because I want to be clear with you that there are things that you are gifted to do, there are talents that you have, and then there are things you're skilled in, okay? Let's be clear. Everything that we're good at is not what we're supposed to focus on. Rather, they help build up that other thing, that main thing, that thing that is in us. And I say this because sometimes we get caught up in having 50 jobs, 50 things that we're good at, but we don't master one thing. What is it, the jack of all trades, master of none? Yeah, you can do all these things, but what have you mastered? What is the 1, 2, 3 thing that you can do, not the 20, 50, 70 things that you can do? I learned in life, and I just want to share this before we go further, that there are some things I'm good at, but I don't like them. And people know that I'm good at them, And they asked me to do it. And I look at them, and I'm like, I don't want to. Because just because I'm good at it does not mean I want to do it. It's not who I am. It's a part of who I am. And I choose not to really walk that out. And be careful of allowing people to pigeonhole you. They will put you in this area that you have a talent in or a gifting in or are skilled in and see that one thing. So anytime anybody needs something in that particular area, they'll call you. They'll contact you. Hey, I know you're good at, so can you do this for me? Can you do this for Frankie? Can you do this for Teddy? Can you do this for, and you always get stuck doing this thing. At some point, when you're doing a thing that you really don't like doing, not only will you despise it, you'll start despising people because they pigeonhole you into this one area and you don't like it. And I've noticed that as I've gotten older, that there is one area that I'm gifted in, not even gifted, I'm skilled in, and I'm really, really good at it. It's second nature. I got a degree in it, a diploma in it, a certificate in it, to be honest. I'm good in it, but I don't like it. Can I be honest with you? I don't. And so when I have to work in the function of it, I start getting upset, angry even, because I don't like it. I just was blessed by God to be good in it, to be certified in it, in order to get me from one place to another place. But when I get a call, hey, you're good at, can you help me with, I start sighing and rolling my eyes and sucking my teeth and just being a little disturbed. And God had me do a self-check. Remember, I keep telling you, do your self-checks. They're so important. It's important to do them. I say now do them at least once a week. Where are you in your life? What's honest? Have honest conversations. Who are you today? What do you like today? What don't you like today? It helps with honesty, and it helps you understand where you are, because who you were last month is not who you are today. Who you were 15 years ago is not who you are today. So I would admonish and ask you to please do these self-checks. Well, God set me down to do a self-check because I needed to understand why I got so when people asked me to do certain things and why I would just, like, go MIA and disappear. Well, when I sat with God and was honest, I realized I'm tired of it. I've done it for over 20-some-odd years. And because I've done it, I feel stagnant in it. It's not helping me. It's something I'm just good at. I don't like it, though. I don't want to live in it. I'd rather do something else. And once I had that realization, I would love to say I was released from it. Not yet, but I'm getting to that place. And so I say to you, just because you're good at something doesn't mean that's your life's work. Does not mean that's your purpose, that's your destiny. You have to be so clear with who you are and what you desire, that you don't allow your purpose to never be realized because people have given you your purpose. Oh, I needed an assistant. Oh, I needed an accountant. Oh, I needed a manager. Oh, I needed, and you're like, okay, that's what you need. But in my life, that's not what God calls me to be. It's just a job I have. It's just an assignment. It's just for a moment. And you need to recognize that because you will find yourself becoming bitter and having resentment. Not just for the thing you were blessed with, but with the people who are asking you to do it, and then with yourself. So here we have these three people, these servants, and they're given a pound, and their master goes off to go get the paper that would allow him to be ruler over this kingdom. Well, there are people in the kingdom who don't want him to rule over them. And they're talking about it. They're talking loudly and complaining and saying, why is he going there? We don't want him. We didn't choose him. Who asked him? But he goes on. And he comes back with the paper decreeing that he is now the royal ruler over this group. And he comes back and he calls his servants because now he wants to see what they've done with what he's blessed them with. And he calls the first servant, and the first servant said, okay, you gave me a pound. I did what I had to do, and now I have 10 pounds to give to you. And he gives his master the 10 pounds. He shows him. And the master is well pleased. He calls his second servant over. And his second servant says, you gave me a pound, and I doubled it. Oh, I'm sorry, not doubled it. I have now made five. Here are 5 pounds, and he gives them to the master, shows them to the master. The master is pleased. He calls the third servant. The third servant says, well, I gave you a pound, and because I know who you are, here's what's funny. The third servant doesn't do what he's supposed to do. But instead of saying, I didn't do what I was supposed to do, he throws his master under the bus. Instead, because I know who you are, and you take what's not yours and claim what isn't yours, I just hid the money in a napkin. I did nothing with it because I know that the kind of person that you are. Be careful of being the person who messes up or makes a mistake, but you want to blame everybody and everything instead of taking the blame for yourself. Instead of being open and honest and saying, I didn't do it. I messed up. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that's all he had to say, but that sounds a whole lot better than saying, I know who you are and the kind of person you are. You take what you didn't put down and you take credit for what you shouldn't take credit. That's not what you say to somebody who has given you a task or who's given you an assignment. Be careful of being the name blame person. You blame everybody. The car didn't work. The people didn't like me. I didn't have everything I needed. You didn't equip me. You did. Instead, be honest and say, you gave me this money. I was too lazy. I didn't do anything. Or you gave me this assignment. I didn't get to it. I'm sorry. I'll work on that right away. Where's the humility when you make a mistake? Where's the humility when you make a misstep? A lot of people get defensive when they don't do what they're supposed to do, and instead of being humble, they'll come on attack at you as if it was your fault for them not doing what they knew they were supposed to do. Be careful of being that person. So in here, in this Bible story, the third servant who did nothing with what he was gifted with tells his master, I didn't do what you wanted me to do with it. I didn't do anything with it. I buried it, essentially. Didn't use it. Didn't flip it. Did nothing. Just kept it where it was. So I'm returning to you what you gave to me. His master is angry for a couple of reasons. I gave you a task, and you didn't do anything. But not only that, now you're blaming me. You're criticizing me. You're critiquing me. Because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. So he took what the third servant had, that pound, and gave it to the one who had the 10. And listen to this. The people, the other servants, those that didn't want him around, all of them, they're murmuring. But the one who has 10 already has 10. Why did you give him something else? He who has will have more. You will have more than you ever dreamed of. I will give you more than you even expected when you use what I've given you and fully use it. So today, what's in your hand? I'm not talking about dollar bills. I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm not talking about your wallet. I'm not talking about your purse. I'm not talking about your back pocket. I'm not talking about your money holder. What has God blessed you with? What gifting, what talent, what skills has God blessed you with? Here's a misstatement that I've heard often growing up. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. A lot of people believe if they don't use a gift, God will take it away from you. And it kind of sounds like that when you read this, but that's not true. If you don't use something, it becomes rusty. It becomes, what's the word I want to use, Holy Spirit? incapable almost of being used, incapacitated. So let's say, for example, you're a singer with a beautiful voice. God has blessed you with it. This is a gift, and he's given to you. And it's a gift, and you like. You decide, maybe, you know, there's people who sing better than you. So you decide in your own mind that because there are singers that sing better than you, that you don't need to sing because there are people who sing better than you. You never ask God, you know, God, do you want me to sing? No, you just made up in your own mind, I don't want to sing in front of people. You have all these other voices. My voice doesn't matter. So you don't sing. 5 years, 10 years, go down, go down, go down, 20 years. One day, you're just somewhere, and inside you, you feel the unction, the urge to go and sing. But now, because you haven't used those muscles, your vocalizer, as they say on Little Rascals, in a long time, you try to sing, and now it's creaky, crusty, dusty sounding. It's not that God has taken the gifting of singing away from you. You haven't used it. It's rusty now. So now you have to do some work in order to get your voice back to where it used to be. Whereas had you been singing, and I don't mean you had to sing in front of people, but just use the gift, it would have been working. Okay, so that's what I mean by just because you don't use it does means that you're going to lose it. A lot of people say that. A lot of pastors say that. And it bothered me because there were some giftings that God had blessed me with that I walked away from. And I really thought I would lose them. I really thought I lost them. It's not that. It's just now you have to exercise them. It's like if you lost your ability to walk for a while, maybe because of an accident or something happened to your lower disc or whatever it was. You have to relearn it. You have to relearn how to flex your feet and move your toes and put your feet on the ground and support yourself standing up and taking that first step. You have to relearn. So it's not that you lose your giftings. It's not that you lose your talents. It's not that you lose your skills. You just have to relearn them and walk them out. And I wanted to share that because it stagnated me. There is a gifting that God blessed me with, and when I became a part of this industry or this organization, I didn't use the gift because it's not that they didn't believe in that gift. It's just they saw no need of it, really. And so I stopped using it for almost 10 years. I believe it. There was nowhere for me to use it because I wasn't around people who were building it up. So it sat in the closet. They had cobwebs on it, and I didn't use it. And I was upset about it because I was like, this is something that God blessed me with, something that's awesome and amazing, and it's a very big piece of who I am, but I can't use it. And then one day, an apostle friend and I were talking, a pastor friend and I were talking, and as we were talking, I started seeing things. And I shared with the pastor what I was seeing. And I realized as I was speaking to him and seeing what I was seeing that I had just used the gift I thought I lost. And I cried because I just knew that God had taken it away because I didn't use it. And I was crying because I was so grateful that he had it. That it was still there. It's just it wasn't used. So he slowly was making me walk into it. And then from my pastor friend, I was speaking to an apostle friend, and the gift was being used, and to the point where now it's second nature to me using it. It's there again. It's a part, a huge part of who I am. So I no longer feel as empty as I was feeling those 10 years. And so today, I wanted to share that with you because there are some of you who honestly have been gifted with these beautiful gifts. These. I'm not talking about just your talents and skills. I'm talking about the giftings of the Holy Spirit God has blessed you, and you are somewhere where they're not being utilized. And you honestly feel as if the call that God has on your life is a lie. You feel as if because you're in a place where you're not able to fully walk into what God has given you, that you misheard him, that you were wrong about it. And I want to say to you today that is a lie. God gave it to you. It's yours. You did not mishear him. You did not misunderstand him. It's your gift. It's your blessing, and you are going to walk in it. It's just the season where you are, the area that you are in right now, they don't recognize it. And you need to pray and ask God, are you in the right place at the right time? Because, see, you can be in the right place at the wrong time. And you can be in the wrong place, but it's the right time in your life. But you just need to get somewhere else that you're supposed to be. So you need to pray and ask God to clarify for you, are you where you're supposed to be, or is it time for you to move on? This is why prayer is so important. And I mean honest conversation with God, a two-way conversation, a dialogue between the two of you. Many times we like to pray and just tell God what's on our heart and say, okay, thank you, this is what I prayed, amen, out. And God's like, but what about my answer? What about what I want from you? What about our conversation? But you don't give him the time. There are times in your prayer life, I know you can't do it every day. I understand your schedule. But you need to schedule time with God where not only you're talking to him, but you're listening for him. When you sit and wait, and whether you have your journal, whether you have some worship music playing, whatever, but to just make that atmosphere and set it for him. You may have some candles burning or diffuser going so that the smell is there. I love to use frankincense, and I love frankincense and myrrh. It just sets up an atmosphere where I just feel, my spirit just feels so lifted. And go into the presence of God and just sit there and cry out and talk, and I just wait. Sometimes, can I be honest, I fall asleep because I'm so at peace. And then I'll have vision, dreams. He'll wake me up with his voice, and I hear, and I'm just like, oh. And I feel so full. It's a spiritual, emotional thing. So when I have real worship with God, that's what I need, that experience. And it's in those moments where God speaks the loudest, even when his voice is calm and soft. But there's no distractions. There's no phone. There's no TV. There's no computer. There's no social media. There's no friends. There's no family. It's just you and him. In those moments, you can hear God so clearly. And it strengthens you also because he shares with you some information that you may have forgotten. He shares with you the giftings that he had given you are yours, and he didn't take them, and he's going to use them. He has use of you. See, just like Esther, you're here for a time such as this. There is a reason why God put you on earth at this precise moment. Some people wonder why they were born in the 60s. Some people wonder why they were born in the 90s, because God knew before you even were in your mother's womb when he was going to need you. He knew whether he was going to need you at 15, at 35, at 70. He knew. So he created you, put you in your mother's womb so that you would come at the time that you were designated to come to be here for this time and this season because there is need of you. Now, if you walk into his need of you, it's up to you because you do have free will. Just like those three servants, or the 10 servants, but the three that we're focused on, they had free will to decide what they were going to do with that 10 pounds. I mean, that 1 pound. I keep giving them more money. They had the right to decide. He didn't force them. But when he came back, he asked each one, what did you do with what I gifted you with? And I'm saying to someone today, when you have to hold account to Jesus and he says, what have you done with the gift I've given you? Are you going to be the first servant? Are you going to be the second servant? Or are you going to be the third? Are you going to put your gifts up in the closet and allow them to collect dust and have cobwebs on them? Or are you going to at least be like the second servant who used some of them? Or are you going to be like the first servant and use everything you got? And when you come back, you're like, God, here is everything that you gave me, plus more, double, triple, quadruple, quintuple, and all the rest. Here it is. Because I used everything you poured into me. I used it, and I blessed this one, and I blessed that one, and I did this, and I did that, and here you go. Is he going to be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or is he going to say, get out of my sight, you evil servant? Your gift, your talent, your skill all line up together to help you with your purpose and your destiny in life. Everyone's purpose is different. Even if you're called to do the same thing, your purpose is different. Some may be called to the young. Some may be called to the older. Some may be called to this sex. Some might be called to that sex. I'm just telling you, you are necessary. Don't think your gifting is too little. Don't think it's too big. You can handle either or in the middle. It's just a point that you have been gifted to do something, so do it, and it's not just for you. Your gifting, your skill, your talent is to be used for others. There are people who are waiting for your voice. There are people who are waiting for your artwork. There are people who are waiting for your prayer. There are people who are waiting for your speech. There are people who are waiting for your business. There are people who are waiting for your counseling and coaching. There are people who are in need. Every person on this planet is not saved. And even people who are saved are not all delivered. I hear you saying now, well, why is my talent necessary? Why is my gifting necessary? Because we are here to bring people to God. We are here to help people who are thinking about committing suicide. We are here to help people who may have been molested or raped. We are here to help people who are being abused physically, emotionally, verbally, mentally, and every other way. You're here to be a help. There are, what, 7 billion, 8 billion people in the planet, on the planet? Those being born every day? You are here to be a help. You are here to help set the captives free. And your gift, your talent, your skill is a way that they can be helped, a way they can be delivered, a way that they can forgive themselves and others, a way they can believe in themselves, a way they can be encouraged. It's because of what you have within you. That's why the master got angry at the servant. It wasn't just because he was lazy, but he was selfish. The gift he gave the servant was to be used. Just think of it this way. And I love to use this because I tell you, parenting reminds me so much of God. I get checked all the time. My kids love it because I'll be fussing at them, and then I'm like, oh, Lord, did you say that to me right in the middle of me fussing at them, and I have to stop because I'm getting beat myself. But think of it as parenting. And I love to use this analogy. Y'all know it, because you've heard it about 10 times. But as a parent, if you were to bless your child with a gift and you gave the gift to the person and they like it, it's good, it's cool, they're good with it. But after you give it to them, you see it in their closet. You go by a week, it's in their closet, a month, it's in their closet, 2 years in their closet, 5 years in their closet, and they never use it. How do you feel? How does that make you feel? You feel as if you wasted your time, your energy, and your money to get this thing for this child, and they're not even using it. They don't know you may have had to stand in line 10 hours in order to get the new whatever that's coming out before anybody else can get it. They don't know you may have used the last money you had on your check that you could have really used to pay a bill, but instead of paying a bill, you sacrificed to get them this thing. They don't know what you put in your thoughts to get this gift or your actions to get this gift, but they're not using it. So how does that make you feel? Well, imagine God in heaven blessing people and putting his love. I need you to understand. God is the best parent ever. Daddy loves each and every one of us, even those who don't know him, who don't accept him, don't believe him. He still loves you. So as he's making you, he knows who you're going to be. He knows what you're going to do. So even though he knows that you're not going to like him, even though he knows you don't believe in him, even though he knows you're going to turn your back on him, even though he knows you're going to walk away from him, he still gives you two eyes, two ears, a mouth, a nose, a face, a neck, a body. He doesn't withhold any good thing from you, even though he knows you're going to turn your back on him. I need you to keep this in mind. So with loving kindness, this love that's like no other love, he creates you. Within that egg is you. And he knows exactly when your parents are going to connect in order to create you. And with loving kindness, he pours his love into that egg to say, this is my child that I'm going to bless with the ability to dance, with the ability to mime, with the ability to create architecture, thank you, Holy Spirit, with the ability to be a doctor, with the ability to be a lawyer, with the ability to you right then in that egg. He implants what he wants for your life right there. And this is going to happen, even though at age 10, she's going to say, I don't believe in God. There's no God, because if there was a God, why did my mother die of AIDS? Even though at age 20, he's going to say, God's not real, because if God was real, why did he let my father never be in my life? He knew this. But with that love that's unlike any other love, that agape love, that love that's not conditional, he created you two eyes, two ears, a mouth, a nose, a face, hair. Some with receding hair, but he knew that still you were going to talk about him to other people and question who he is and question his love, but he still, with a love that has never been measured, still created you. And for him to pour his love into you and to do for you, even though he knew that he blessed you with the ability to do different things, you would put them in a closet and walk away from them. He knew and still decided you're going to be born on September 30th. You're still going to be born on August 2nd. You're still going to be born on May 29th. You're still going to be born on October 10th. You're still going to be born on October 11th. You're still going to be born on January 2nd. He still placed within you with a love that cannot be measured, the ability to do things that will break other people free still. So I say to you, God has graced you. He has blessed you. He has designed you for greatness. He has given you these gifts, these abilities, these talents, these skills. He's given them to you. And they're not just for you. So just because you don't feel like singing because you can't be the lead singer in church this week, how dare you take away your gift from the masses because this week you're going to be in the back. This week you won't be in the spotlight. Just because your heart was broken, how dare you take away your gift of making people laugh? Because guess what? your ability to make them laugh may be the thing that they needed so they didn't take their life the next day. Yes, harsh. Yes, not fair. Israel, why are you saying all of this? My life is my life. I can do with it what I want. Yes, you can. But the intention of your life was not just for you, but for others. So you withholding your gift is not just a punishment for yourself or a slap in God's face, but what about the hundreds, thousands, millions you were called to? Yeah, it may seem far-fetched that one little joke today is going to be the laughter that a million, 2 million, 10 million people need 5 years from now. But I'm pretty sure Kevin Hart started that way. One joke. Eddie Murphy, one joke. Richard Pryor, one joke. And yeah, I'm using those because those are people that I love. I wasn't always safe. Still listen to them. Just saying what I'm saying. I told you I keep it real with you. But one day, they had one joke or a book of jokes, but I'm pretty sure they never even saw the magnitude of that 1, 2, 20 joke called millions of people. So don't ever say your gifting is too small or where you are in your life is too far removed. Today, you might be living in a car. Tomorrow, you could be living in a mansion. Today, your bank account says negative $1,000. Tomorrow, it could be saying plus of $10 billion. Never think you're that small, that you're that unimportant. That's what I'm trying to get you to see with your gifting. Because what happened when the servant who did the most and used his talent, his gift, what happened? Not only did the master allow him to keep all that he got, but he gave him more. So what would happen if you used your gifting and you just everywhere and it's just spreading like wildfire and you're just blessing people and it's growing then? A sickness that was supposed to hit didn't hit. Because God said, let me bless my child again. So sickness, you thought you were coming, but let me cover my baby. You just don't know. And so I'm here to say to you, whatever's in your hand, use it. For me, it's a pen, paper, typewriter, computer, iPad, anything with a keyboard. I'm a writer. That's my first love. That's my first gifting. But there are other giftings that tie into my ministry. And there's different components to it. And I slept on it. I'm going to be real honest with you because this message is for me too, because I've slept on it because I've allowed busyness of life, disappointments in life, not being comfortable in life, stop me from using a gift that God gave me. Andrea did this. I'm not blaming anything else. I did. I stopped because I'm the writer. So if I don't write, it doesn't matter what's causing it. It's the fact that I didn't write. So I'm challenging you as I sit here today to tell you, get back to exercising your gift, whether it's singing, dancing, writing, running, laughing, creating jokes, architecture, drawing, painting, poetry, business plans, putting together businesses, whatever it is, because there's so many. Get back to it. Lazy time is over. Hurt time, betrayal time, all of that, just forgive it. I don't want you to bury it. I want you to acknowledge it, but I need you to forgive it so you can move forward. But it's time to get back to it. One of my friends blessed me this week, and it was yesterday. I went on Facebook, and I saw her advertising her business, and I hadn't seen it in a while. And so I'm going to give props where props are due, and I'm going to call out people because I am. But her name is Lisa Brown. She's on Facebook. She has a company called Oil Over Me, OILOVERME. And I remember when I was in Patterson, she started that business many moons ago. And she also has Lily's Added, which is the clothes component of it. But this is the oil and now perfume part of it. And I was so proud of her. Let me tell you why. I hadn't seen her do the business. I completely forgot about them, to be very honest. Knowing how much I love oil, you all know that I'm an oil wearer. I forgot. But I saw her on Facebook yesterday. But what blessed me was not only that I saw her doing her business again, but the season of where she's doing her business. She just lost her brother. They just buried him on Thursday. I was supposed to be up in New Jersey this week, but because there were other deaths that were happening, I was unable to attend. But I was supposed to go up to Jersey because, you know, the Brown family and my family are very close. We, over 30 years, or almost 30 years, of knowing each other and being family. So I was upset that I couldn't be there to support them, and I was upset, too, because any death in her family is like a death to my family. But it blessed me to see her going into the business that she had created so many years ago that I hadn't seen her walk into at one of the most difficult times in her life. That inspired me. It inspired me because I haven't had a death in my family lately. Thank you, Jesus. Poof, cover that, Father. And yet, I really have no real reason why I haven't been writing. There's no real reason. There's no real hurt, pain in my life that has kept me from it. So if someone who could be dealing with grief walk out into what God has called her to walk out into, Andrea, what's your excuse? And I had to share it with you. So you wouldn't think I'm just talking off the top of my head. No, these are heartfelt emotions and words that I'm sharing with you because I've done it. I'm doing it. So I have to get back to it because I'm not going to lose my gift of writing, but it will become stagnant. It will become rusty if you don't exercise it. So whatever your gifting is, whether it's preaching, teaching, whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's prophecy, whether it's encouragement, whether it's giving, whatever your gifting is, walk out into it. And I want to leave you with this last thing before I head out of here. The last part of the scripture, he called those people who had been talking about him and complaining and said, bring them to me. Where are the people who did not want me to be king? Bring my enemies here and kill them. I will watch them die. I want to leave you with that because remember I told you earlier about your haters, and your haters can sometimes be those the closest to you physically and relationally and emotionally. He said, now, after he had taken the 1 pound from the lazy servant and said, I don't want to see him ever again, and blessed the one who had 10 bags of money or 10 pounds with that one, he said, now that I've taken care of that, bring me those who talked about me. Bring me those who criticized me. Bring me those who hate me. Bring me those who were supposed to have my back, but instead have stabbed and, you know, pushed a knife through it. Send me them. Not only send them to me, kill them. I'm going to watch them die. I'm going to leave you with that because those people who are hating on you, those people who are saying you can't do it, those people who don't support you, you need to have a burial. You have to have a burial right now. Bury all that negativity. Bury all that hate. Bury all that non-support. Watch it die. In other words, don't let it affect you. You remember what they said. Okay, cool. I can't do it. Show them. Those people who wouldn't support when you were down to your last 10, fine. When you have your 10 million, okay. Bury those negative words and those negative thoughts that are going against you. People who said that you would be nothing, bury it. People who said you could never do anything, bury it. People who said, I remember when he used to beg me for money, bury it. I remember when she used to be a hood rat, bury it. I remember when he used to be a pimp, bury it. I remember when she used to be a prostitute, bury it. I remember she wasn't going to be nothing because her mama was nothing, bury it. Don't let their negative comments, negative memories, negative ideas keep you in a box. Instead, be like this ruler. Bury it. He said, bring them to me. Kill them. I'll watch them die. What you're going to do, go ahead and remember everything they said. Okay, you got it all out. You remember? You heard it in your head? Now get rid of it. Tell them to get thee behind you. They're like Satan. Get behind me. Watch me move forward. Watch what I do. You watch from the sidelines. I'm going to keep progressing. I'm going to keep moving forward. You've got to bury those feelings. Not those feelings, but those naysayers. Don't bury your feelings. I want you to expose your feelings. I want you to be honest with yourself. How did it make you feel? How did it feel? And once you accept and acknowledge first and accept what you feel, let it go. It hurt me. It made me cry. It made me stop. Okay. Thank you for being honest with your feelings. The best thing that you can do is to accomplish what they said you can't accomplish. You don't have to justify. You don't have to fight. You don't have to argue with them. Just prove it. Do it. That's the best argument. The best argument against anyone saying what you can't do is to show that you can. And I don't mean show them. I just mean do it. They'll get the news eventually. You don't have to put into the Daily News a big headline, prostitute becomes the first owner of. No, you don't have to do that. Take out a full-page ad in the AJC announcing, I have accomplished what you said I couldn't. No. Trust me, they will hear about it before the people who support you do. Isn't that funny how people who don't like you, who hate you, who talk bad about you, who betray you, always know the things you're doing before anybody else? You're so relevant to their lives, I promise you. You don't have to call them. You don't have to call their family members. You don't have to call their friends. You don't have to. I promise you, they will know what you're doing before you even know you're doing it. I promise. I don't know how they have that radar, but as soon as you start that come up, as soon as you start accomplishing, as soon as you start doing stuff, as soon as you start living a better life, they know about it. And their mouths just a yickety-yacking and let them. You don't argue. Take a page out of Jesus' book. Don't say a word. Just keep moving. Don't address them. You have moved on from it. If you've done something wrong to somebody, ask for forgiveness and move on. Don't keep rehearsing it. But this is a season of moving forward. This is a season of accomplishing those things. The time is now. This season is so hot and heavy for you to just walk into some things that you have been crying about, praying about. That's why I'm talking about these things this year. Because remember, we're working on being the better us, right? We're looking to be better in life. No, we're not living our best lives right now, but we want to live better ones. In order to do that, there's some things that you have to do that are going to help that cause. So I need you. I gave you some challenges this week to be honest with yourself, to do a self-check, to see where you are, and be honest about it. Write it down. I've given you challenges to talk to God this week. Just you and him, one-on-one. Turn off your phone, turn off your TV, turn off the radio, turn off people, turn off social media, just you and him. And set the atmosphere the way you want it set, whether it's with, okay, well, maybe keep on the radio if you're going to listen to worship music. Have your Bible, have a journal, have a pen, and just sit and talk. Be like me, take a nap sometimes, because that peaceful, ooh, presence, there's nothing like it. But have some real conversation and then listen to what God has to say. Make it a dialogue. You talk, you listen. He listens, he talks. Let it be like that. Let it, I'm telling you, it's so good for your spirit. I promise you, your spirit needs it. I'm not just talking about your church time with him, with the people, the fellowship, with the believers. I'm talking about one-on-one time with God. And your other challenge this week, what is it that God has blessed you to do? What are your giftings? Do you even know what they are? Do you know what your talents are? Do you know what skills you have? Do you know? And if you don't know, Now is a good time to find out. Now is a good time to do. Write them down. What do you enjoy? What do you like? And then walk out into them. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I appreciate you. Enjoy your life. Be at peace and walk into your purpose. What's in your hand? I'll see you next Sunday at 7 a.m.
Listen, the goal of the enemy
is
to keep you from knowing who you are.
Don't